Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 to start with. So Psalm chapter 5, and we're going to read the entire chapter. The main focus will be on verses 11 and 12. So Psalm chapter 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for just the morning. Thank you for the afternoon. Thank you for the time we can be gathered together again tonight. Father, I ask that you would bless our time as always. Father, we ask that the word of God would go forth and do what it's intended to do, because you promised it would not return void. And Father, we do want the word of God to work in our hearts and in our lives, transforming us more into the image of Christ, helping us to have the wisdom of God in our life. But even as we'll talk tonight, to be able to rejoice in our life, to rejoice in the Lord, because our joy is found in the Lord. Father, I ask that you would bless our time. As always, Lord, we do want you to be glorified. It is all about you. You've given us new life through Jesus Christ, a life that is full of joy and peace and a wonderful relationship with you. So, Father, help us tonight to learn what we need to learn, to be encouraged where we need to be encouraged, and, Father, to be strengthened in our faith, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, and we thank you for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When you look back at verse 11, the Bible says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice." And tonight we're going to talk about reasons to rejoice. There are many reasons that we rejoice at different times in our life. I know I have a little girl that is rejoicing because her birthday is this Thursday. And she keeps asking, you know, how many days until my birthday? And she's all excited. And there's just times you rejoice in your birthday. But the older you get, you kind of want to forget your birthday. You want to forget you're turning 1 year older. I remember when I was turning 30, for whatever reason, turning 30 was a big deal, and I did not like it. I don't know, because when I was 29, and, "Oh, you're fine, just wait till you hit 50 and you're over the hill." Like I said this morning, I'm 49, and I feel like I'm just at the bottom starting up. But for whatever reason, turning 30 was a big deal. But I do. I may not rejoice in turning another age, but I do rejoice in waking up to a new day. Even if there's snap, crackle, and pop coming out of my body, I still enjoy the fact that there's a new day to see what God's going to do, a new day to walk with the Lord, a new day to see the blessings of God in your life. And there are times, like in David's life here, when David starts out the psalm in Psalm chapter 5, he's talking about those that rebel against God, those that don't rejoice in the Lord, those that live their life contrary to God's will. But when he gets to verse 11, he says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. And the reason we can rejoice in the Lord is because we know he's faithful. We know that he hears our prayers. We know that he guides our steps because he is sovereign. We're kept by his power. And we find just peace in Jesus Christ. In regards to rejoicing, we're told in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, notwithstanding in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Spiritually, there are many things we can rejoice about, and that is one thing to rejoice about, is that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are encouraged to rejoice always in everything. And even in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. The reason why it's important that we rejoice is because our focus stays on the one that we're following. Our focus stays on the one who is faithful, the one who hears our prayers, the one that can pull us out of the muck and mire, the one who has set our feet upon a rock, the one who has established our goings, and the one that knows us by name, and he's with us every step of the way. But several things I want us to think about in regards to rejoicings that we can rejoice in. And again, before I even start, just reminding you, when you read a lot of David's Psalms, he does start out in a lot of his Psalms complaining about his enemies, complaining about the situation he's in, even complaining that it's not fair. But then he always ends the Psalm that he's writing with a new focus on the Lord, getting his focus back on the Lord, being able to rejoice. You know what? Very quickly, look at Psalm 23. The famous psalm of Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm, reminds us again of just the goodness of our God. I know Psalm 23 is a favorite psalm of many Christians, and a lot of people know about Psalm 23. I had an uncle that he always read Psalm 23 in the mornings with his family. It was a very special psalm because it reminds us, again, who's guiding us and who's watching over us and who's providing for us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's focus was on the Lord, and he knew that God was the one guiding him through what seemed like the valley of the shadow of death. It seemed like there were those on either side of him just wanting to destroy his life. He was being hunted by King Saul, but yet the Lord protected him all along the way and encouraged him all along the way. I want you to look at Psalm 100. You and I can rejoice even before there's something to rejoice about, because we're rejoicing in the one that's leading us like a shepherd who will always watch over us and provide for us. And sometimes it's not financial needs that need to be provided. It's just joy. It's peace. It's contentment. It's assurance that everything's okay. And even if everything's not okay, we still know who is in control, who is sovereign. But notice in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. Right, you are God's people. And God watches over you, but God also deserves for us to rejoice in him at all times. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. That's something to rejoice over, the fact that God is good. There's not a single time in your life or my life that God's not good. He's good all the time, regardless of what situation we're in. He is good. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Even if we cannot find one single thing in our current life to rejoice over, yet when we look to the scriptures, it reminds us we can rejoice in the Lord, for he is good, he is faithful, and he watches over his people. Several things I want us to think about that we can rejoice, reasons why we can rejoice. Look at Romans chapter 8 as we think about the fact that we can rejoice in the sovereignty of God. We can rejoice in the sovereignty of God. And these are some reasons that we need to keep in mind as we enter in a new week. We have plans. You always have plans for the new week you're going into. There's a routine you have for some, having to go to work on Monday through Friday. Others, you know, you just have your to-do list that you do each week. Everybody has a routine that they do, but most of us know that our routines can be interrupted. So as we enter in a new week, we can rejoice in the fact that God is sovereign. He knows what's going to happen, and he will use it for our good and his glory. In Romans chapter 8, you look at verse 28, being reminded that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You know that no matter what happens in your life, God will use it for good, because God is all about glorifying himself. He's all about using things in our life to bring honor and glory to him. You think about even John the Baptist. John the Baptist being the one chosen by God to have the spirit of Elijah upon him, because Jesus even testified that he is the one, the voice crying in the wilderness, that he said he was Elijah, because it said Elijah would come before Christ would come. And as John the Baptist would point people to Christ, one day John the Baptist found himself in prison awaiting execution. And even though he cried out, "Behold the Lamb of God," and even told his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God," and pointed people to Christ, yet on one given day as he's sitting in prison, he's contemplating, is this really Christ? Is this really the one? Because things had not turned out the way he thought that things would turn out, and he sends a couple of his disciples to go ask Jesus, "Art thou the one, or do we look for another?" Because he's sitting in a place that he did not think he would be. He's sitting in prison waiting to be executed. He ends up being executed. But Jesus sends back an answer to John the Baptist by simply telling his disciples, "Go and tell John everything you've seen and heard." Because those two disciples that came, Jesus, he taught the people and he healed the people. And then told those two disciples, "Go back and tell John what you've seen and heard," because what Jesus taught and what he did testified of who he was. Life does not always turn out the way we think or hope it will, because, well, I'm a follower of Christ, then you know what? Everything should be good. God uses bad things in our life to help our faith to grow, because it's by experience that we learn to be patient and to continue hoping and trusting in God and seeing his faithfulness. So we can rejoice in the fact that we have a God who is sovereign. He knows all things. He sees all things. All things are under control. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God directs your steps. God directs your steps. And you and I can rejoice in the fact that we have a God that does. Because listen, when you get a flat tire, when the engine blows up, when the dishwasher stops working, when the washing machine stops working, you know, whatever breaks down, because as Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, we want to complain. We want to question why. It's the only washing machine I have. It's the only dishwasher I have. I don't want to wash dishes by hand. You know, whatever it is, yet God wants us to rejoice in the fact that He doesn't want us to find our satisfaction in objects, but in Christ. It's fine to be happy about circumstances that are going well, but real rejoicing and true worship comes from understanding that the sovereign God of all creation created and designed you and me for His glory. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. You and I were created not for complaining, but for worshiping and glorifying God. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. God created us to glorify Him in our life. God knows exactly what will go on in our life, and He wants us to be able to glorify Him through our life in rejoicing in His sovereignty. Look at John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we find our second reason that we can rejoice. I'm sorry, 1 John. That wasn't right. I said John, but go to 1 John. First John chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Second reason you and I can rejoice is that our sins have been paid for. God already knows that there's going to be times in our life that we're going to sin against Him. Not willingly, not anxiously, but there's times where we are caught off guard, if I can say that. Caught off guard, we speak before we think. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but allow something to come out of your mouth and you're like, oops. Whether it's complaining, whether it's being mad about something. But verse 1 says, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can rejoice in the fact that we have the grace of God on our side. Just like Peter had the grace of God on his side. Just like Thomas had the grace of God on his side. Just like Paul had the grace of God on his side. I'm glad that God is not a God who holds grudges. He's not a God that brings up our past failures. No, the adversary does that. He's the accuser of the brethren that always wants to bring up our failures to try to paralyze us from moving forward in our life with the Lord. But if we do like Paul and Silas and rejoice at midnight and pray and sing to our Father, then it helps us to be reminded that, you know what, we have forgiveness with our Father because of His grace. No matter what happens in life, Jesus has made us a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. He has stripped away the cloak of sin and robed us in His righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ, and we can rejoice in that grace that He has bestowed upon us. Look at Psalm 23 again. Psalm chapter 23. Because the third reason that we can rejoice is found in the very presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Psalm 23, found in verse number 4. Because again, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, David had God in his life, but he didn't have the Spirit of God in him, comforting him, guiding him like we do. He had God in his life. He had a relationship with God, but not like you and me, having the Spirit of God in us. Again, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon people at different times, and God would speak to his people at different times. But you and I have a unique relationship with God, and that's his Spirit in us that comforts us and guides us and reminds us of his truth and gives us victory over our failures. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Understand, David understood the presence of God in his life, but you and I understand the Spirit of God within us. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Think about how Paul and Silas could overcome the darkness of night as they're sitting in prison. How could even John overcome being exiled on the Isle of Patmos? When you read, you know what? Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 1. And that's the wonderful thing when Paul pens the words, you know, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing can. Or from the love of God? Nothing can. He lists a bunch of things. Can persecution, nakedness, peril, the sword. He lists all these things and says, nothing shall separate us from the love of God because the Spirit of God is within us and nothing can take that away. Because think, if our country ever gets to a point where it literally takes Bibles away from people, like other countries that cannot have a Bible, cannot have a written copy of God's Word, okay, you take a book away from me, though the book is very precious, but you take that away, I still have the Spirit of God within me. I still have Scripture. I've memorized Scripture. I can think on and meditate and even sing. They can't take that away. And even if they take my voice away to where I can't sing or can't say the words, yet I can still think about the words. Holy Spirit within me still encourages me through the Word of God, can never take that away from us. But even in a prison at midnight, even on an island, think about John. These early disciples of Christ, these early apostles, Paul was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, all the things he went through. John here, the beloved, who's on the Isle of Patmos, was boiled in oil for his faith. And since he survived being boiled in oil, they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos just to get rid of him. But he ends up living a good life, dying of an old age, but even seeing the revelation of Jesus Christ. Notice in verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Stopping just right there for a second. Sometimes the devil tries to convince God's people that they've lost. It does you no good to follow Christ because it doesn't help. You'll have those that say, well, I tried that. I tried church. I read the Bible. It doesn't help. All to try to discourage God's people who are in the spiritual battle. Because we're reminded in Ephesians 6, we're in a spiritual battle. The devil's always trying to rob us of our joy, steal our faith, get us to believe that we're hopeless. But we're not hopeless. because we have the Spirit of God in us that reminds us, hey, look up. Look unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord. And read the back of the book. We win. When you read the back of Revelation, the last few chapters, you see we win. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life win. And we win even in the life we're living because we have the Spirit of God within us. Now you read on in verse number four, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. We can rejoice in the fact, again, our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you would, skip down, time's sake. Look at verse number 10. As John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. On the Lord's day, on the Sabbath, he's having church. He's on an island by himself. He's been exiled, but yet he still spends time with God. Don't allow circumstances to keep you from spending time with God, because spending time with God helps you to have the joy of the Lord, because in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Again, you go on, and Jesus Christ reveals many, many things to John to write down. But again, when you think about it, they chose, Paul chose, Silas chose, John chose to spend that time with the one who is sovereign in their life, knowing that the Spirit of God was with them, because the Spirit of God is in them, never to leave or depart. Look at John chapter 14. The fourth reason that you and I can rejoice. Is because we have assurance of a home in heaven. Jesus Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We know that Christ has gone. There is a place prepared for every single child of God that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And every single child of God that will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. A place has been prepared. Obviously, the foreknowledge of God, he knows who will be saved. Yet Jesus Christ died for all, not just for the elect, not just for those that are going to believe on Jesus Christ, but the blood was shed for all sin. But notice in verse number 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. You and I can rejoice not only in the fact that I have a place in heaven. If I lose my home, I have a home that will never be taken away from me. The home I currently have needs maintenance. Things break down. But I'm glad that there's a home in heaven made by a carpenter who does everything so perfect, you don't need to buy a maintenance plan. You don't need to buy a home warranty, because nothing will ever break. Nothing will ever need to be repainted. Nothing will have to be, fixed or maintained. It is perfect, and you can rejoice in that. Again, don't let the devil steal your joy. And when the devil comes knocking and he wants to steal your joy and cause you to be upset, or cause you to think, this isn't fair, and get complaining, just remind yourself that, wait a minute, God is sovereign. God knew this was going to happen. God must want me to learn something. He must have something better for me. And even if I don't get something now in this life that's better, man, I've got a place prepared for me that's out of this world, and I can't wait to see it. Everybody's got their opinion of what heaven is like and what those mansions are in the Father's house. Look, all I know, it's going to be perfect. and I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to live in it, because I will be in the presence of the Lord for eternity. Our life will be lit by the glory of the Father. There'll be no need for the sun or the moon. There'll be no more rainy days. There'll be no more snow. You want to talk about perfect weather? Some ladies talking about, you know, the perfect temperature, the perfect weather, and it's going to be perfect. No winter coats, Miss Pam. No struggling with, you know, cold and, oh, I wish I was in a better climate, and where's the perfect climate? It's going to be perfect. You know what? We can rejoice in that. When our flesh wants to complain about what the weather is, at least we can say, you know what, Lord, I can rejoice in the fact that you have a perfect place for me, and I will just rejoice in what the temperature is right now, because I'm reminded that this is only temporary. There's coming a place that is permanent, and we're looking forward to it. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as we look at the fifth reason that you and I can rejoice on any given day, in any given moment. Psalm 119 and verse 162. Actually, back up to verse 160. We'll read 160 through 162. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. One that findeth great spoil. You and I can rejoice because of the comfort of God's word. God's word brings great comfort to our souls. The scriptures give us such joy, and that is why we must be disciplined in the word. As we study the word, we are elevated in our thinking from this earthly, fleshly plane, and learn to see the world for what it really is. Our Father's world. This world does not belong to the devil. This world was created by our Heavenly Father for us to enjoy. You know, some of the reasons why there is depression, reason why there are even young people that are despondent, it's because they don't get out into nature. They don't get out into God's creation and to look at what God has done and be reminded that if God cares about the sparrow, he cares about me. I mean, he feeds his animals. The Bible talks about how he feeds his animals, but yet we're more precious to him because he's given us life. He's given us a soul. He has given us a relationship with him. You and I can rejoice because of God's word. I love it that at times when I am heavy-hearted, I can go to the word of God and my burdens are lifted. When I'm troubled, when my thoughts are troubled, I can go to the word of God and my thoughts turn back to the Lord. It's the word of God that's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even our thoughts. I mean, it helps us to see what is true and what is not true. It helps us to even see ourselves, you know, to remind us of the goodness of God and to see, hey, let's get our focus back on God who is sovereign in our life. Like I've said even this morning before, I'm glad that my name is not written in this book. I'm glad that my life is not written in this book for everyone to see where, you know what, there's been times where Troy has, you know, wondered, will God come through? Has doubted whether or not God will do for me what he's done for others. I'm glad that it's Peter in here and not me. I'm glad that, you know what, it's David, that it's Samson, it's others instead of me. But yet when I read the lives of these men, it points right to me and says, hey, get your eyes back on the Lord. Get your encouragement from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord who is the captain of your salvation. And we can rejoice because the scriptures comfort us. They give us direction. They are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God's not left us in the dark. Has there been times in your life where you felt like God was not directing you? You felt like God was not answering your prayers? It's in those times that God wants us to sit still, to be patient, and to wait upon the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Because you know what? There are times where we are weary. There's times where we're spiritually tired. There's times where we just, it seems like life has been sucked out of us. And yet, we're told in verse number 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. When we read scripture, when we read God's word, he reminds us that if we wait on him, then he will renew our strength. He will help us to be refreshed, to be revived in our spirit. He will help us to get a new vision for what he wants for our life. And it's all about walking with the Lord. Go with Micah. Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6 and verse number 8 says this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Because walking humbly with God says, I need the Lord. My life depends upon him. My joy depends upon God in my life. He's the one that gives me the fullness of joy when I sit in his presence. In Matthew chapter 21 and 22, or verse 22, the Bible says, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. The sixth reason we can rejoice is because God hears our prayers and we know he'll answer our prayers according to his will. I don't always know if somebody will answer my phone call or answer my text. I don't know if somebody will even have the right answer for me. But I know that God always has the right answer. I know that I can cast my cares upon him. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. earlier today, I'd made the statement that things are not the same as when I was a boy, and things are not the same as some of the older saints in our church when they were younger. Life changes. Fashions change. But Jesus Christ never changes. And one thing we can rejoice in that never changes is the fact that Jesus still wants us to cast our cares upon him. But we also have to be reminded that the devil doesn't change either. He wants to rob people of the joy of the Lord. He wants young people to think life isn't worth living and that God doesn't care about them. Because he convinces young people and older people alike that God is just like that person who doesn't care, that person who has mistreated you, that person who has misused you, done you wrong. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse number 6. We're reminded, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this is how we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because at the end of verse 6, it's not a period. Verse 7 goes along with verse 6. This is how we humble ourselves, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. God's not asking us to fight the devil. He's not asking us to charge hell with a water pistol. He's asking us to resist the devil by humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because we're trusting the hands of God who holds us in the palm of his hand, who holds our very life in the palm of his hand, who knows us by our name, who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death, whose spirit within us comfort us, guides us, encourages us, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not alone. There's not a single child of God that is alone. That's why we can even get encouragement among ourselves. Even if I don't tell you what's bothering me, just seeing another brother or sister in Christ reminds me I'm not alone. I'm part of a family. I'm part of the family of God. And in God's family, we have a Heavenly Father who has our best interest in mind. We have a Heavenly Father who has thoughts of peace towards us, who's given us of his Spirit to guide us, to encourage us, who has allowed us to have a family that we have a common bond with. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. Paul says that of the believers at Thessalonica because he had fellowship with them. Even not being with them, he was encouraged by them. And I can be encouraged that I know there are those that pray for me. And you can be encouraged there are those that pray for you. Go to Philippians chapter 1. The last reason for tonight, not the last reason at all, but the last reason for tonight that we can rejoice in the Lord is because of the truth of his word, the truth of the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. When Paul writes that to the church of Philippi, there were those that were against Paul, and they were preaching against Paul. But Paul says, okay, that doesn't bother me. Say what you want to say against me. I'm not going to let your words affect me. The words of Christ are being lifted up. There's not everybody's going to agree with you. I've learned that. Not everybody's going to like you, though you want everybody to like you. You want to get along with everybody. But not everybody will for one reason or another. And Paul says, you know what? I just rejoice in the fact that Christ is being exalted, that others are hearing about Jesus Christ. Other lives are being changed by the power of Jesus Christ. He says, in truth, Christ is preached. I therein rejoice. And you and I can rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ still changes lives, because no matter what people say or believe, it doesn't change the truth that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and he lives within you. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within me. My life has been changed. If your life has been changed by the power of Christ, you can rejoice no matter what. Going back to Psalm chapter 5, verse 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Have you put your trust in Christ? Not just for salvation, but with your life, with your day-to-day life. Have you even asked God to guide you into this next week? Are you prepared to trust God no matter what happens this week? And we should be determined to trust the Lord. And when that moment comes that our faith is tested, we should ask God, God, help me at that moment, whenever it is, Help me to be quick to respond to you. Help me to be quick to look to you and to ask for your guidance and just to rejoice in the fact that you're sovereign and you knew this was going to happen and there's something you want to do through this to help me and to bring honor and glory to you. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with the shield. Remember tonight, you are compassed about with the shield of God's favor. God has you as his child. The devil said of Job to God, you have a hedge of protection. Yes, that hedge of protection is God's favor because you are his child. And we can rejoice in the fact I am his child. My children have my favor. There's never a moment in their life I will just throw them to the wolves. I will do my best to protect them. I will do my best to provide for them because they're my children. When they have need, I will do my best to provide that need. When they have a want, I'll do my best to provide that want. Think about God. You and I have the shield of God's favor because we're his children. So at what point in our life can we not rejoice in the Lord? David rejoiced in the Lord on the run for his life. He rejoiced in the Lord in a cave, hiding. He rejoiced in the Lord even when he was fleeing the palace because his own son rose up against him. Yet he rejoiced in the Lord because he said to his men who wanted to go and lob off the head of one of Saul's relatives who was cursing David and throwing stones at them, he said, let them be. It may be that God will see what I'm going through and bless me. So David knew that it was better just to leave things in God's hands and do what we've been created to do, and that's to worship the Lord. Because truly, joy in the heart helps us to keep a right focus. It helps us to be reminded God truly is on your side,